soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Ladies. Let me hear you, girls. All right, man, let's see. Oh, yes. No more crying then. We are going to see the King. Let me tell you now, no more crying then. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. All right. So how are we going to get there? Anybody know? We're going to fly away. Is that right? All right. 779. Let us sing, I'll Fly Away. But let's give it to the pastor for opening prayer and announcements, please.
All right. Well, you may be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you that we can gather back here again tonight. Lord, thank you for your church. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We're so thankful for your word tonight. Lord, we're thankful for new friends and, Lord, just coming together and hearing a word from your Bible tonight. Thank you for Brother Ed and the message that he's going to be bringing Amen. To us this evening. Lord, we pray our hearts and minds be open to that. And Lord, as we always gather together, if there's one among us that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may this be the hour, the time, the moment where that convicting power of the person of the Holy Spirit comes upon them in such a way that they cannot deny the truth of the gospel, and they have to walk this aisle, compelled to receive Jesus Christ tonight, Lord. We pray that lost souls get saved and that saved souls get revived. Yes. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. A few announcements for you. We've got men's and women's Bible study tomorrow night. 7 o'clock. I think everybody's up on that, going to be there. Sonic Spirit Day, Wednesday, March 21st from 5 to 8 p.m. And then our old school, new school basketball game, Friday, March 23rd, 7 p.m. It looks like it's going to be a great time. Y'all had a great choir practice, I'm assuming.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Well, let's continue to worship on tonight, Brother John.
Amen. All right, if I can get you to stand again. Stand if you can. 779, we're going to sing all the verses.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Weary days and then I'll fly away.
Very good, Trevor. I heard you jumping in there. All right. Where are we flying to? Heaven. All right. Let's go to 772 when we all get to heaven. Amen. Going to sing all these verses. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. Offering, please. You may be seated.
Father, we come tonight, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity we have to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that's here, Lord, that come to hear your word. Sing praises to you. And Lord, we pray for our brother Ed as he brings the word to us tonight, Lord, that you'll just touch his heart. Give him the words to say. Don't let him say what he wants to say. Just do what he wants to say. All right, we're going to go for the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
see how to make this work. I'm happy to be here with y'all tonight. Thank you for letting me join y'all. And I'm like the old fellow, I'm happy to be anywhere, you know. But I'm especially happy to be here with you tonight. Brother Ed's asked me to sing a couple of songs here, so I'm going to ask you to sing this first one with me. Would you do that? Let's just sing together, and then I'll do one here in just a second. I think you'll know this. This is old music now, but when I was a teenager, this was the new music. So some of the older folks were raising their eyebrows then. You know what I'm talking about? Remember Bill Gaither? Remember him? He was new music back when I... That's how old I am. It goes like this. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, you know it, don't you? He understood all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. It's 507 if you've got a book and you don't know the words. Let's try it one more time. Sing that with me. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion. He understood all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, and he made something beautiful of my life. Amen. That'll make you have one of those Babdecostal spells, you know. Oh, this is one of my favorite songs. Always think of my daddy when I sing this one. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. You know I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly. I'd rather be true to his holy name, sing it with me, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today. Did you know he's fairer than lilies of red? Sweeter than
He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and just let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this whole world affords today.
Thank you, brother. Now, right after I went to Forestwood in January of 16, no, 17, Jesse and Debbie came on board and been a huge asset to us, and we didn't have a piano player. Everything we did was by can, so the Lord just sent him to us. It's been an excellent time, and they have, as of today, have a full-time pastor that's going to come on the field, probably be there somewhere around 15th or so of June, just depending on when his wife can get a nursing job and then get moved in here. So it's been a 14 months of getting things ready, and the Lord, I think, has it ready. And so if you'd pray for Forestwood, I know they would certainly appreciate that for you to do that. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of John. John chapter 13. And we're going to just pick up where we left off this morning. And we were discussing the time and all of those things that go with church and singing and how many songs you're going to do. And, you know, I have some really revelationary information for you tonight. God's not on a clock. Amen. I'll tell you this little story. I was at Spring Lake Baptist Church in Paris and went there. They were running about 90, and the Lord just set out on that place, and all of a sudden, about 6 months, we was running about 170, and baptizing people. Me and an old boy named Alan Shelby had the privilege one night to, we went out every Monday night knocking on doors, and we stepped up on the porch of a house and knocked on the door, and old boy came to the door and said, "My name's Ed Etheridge, this is Shelby, Alan Shelby, and we're here to, from Spring Lake Baptist Church, but we're not here to talk to you about church. We'd like to speak to you about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a minute?" He said, "I do." He stepped down the porch. I started sharing a little bit with him. About that time, his wife walked up the door, and she said, "Honey, step out here. You need to hear what this guy's saying." About 5 minutes into it, his brother, I didn't know it was his brother at the time, but he steps up and calls him by name. He says, "Step on out here in the porch. You need to hear what this guy's saying." Then his wife came. Well, all four of them are there, and I'm sharing the gospel with them. And in the midst of that, I found out they were Mormon. About 30 minutes later, all four of them prayed to receive Christ. The next week they were at church, and the next week they were baptized. They came forward and made it public. The last year I went to the Baptist General Convention of Texas Evangelism Conference. I was standing on the floor talking to some friends of mine, and as I got through, I turned and looked, and there's a guy standing by the forum here to Brother Steve. And I knew the guy, but I couldn't have called his name if I was going to be shot. And he said, walked up to me and said, "Brother Ed, you know who I am?" I said, "I do. The Lord gave me the privilege to lead you to the Lord." He said, "Yeah, and three more that night." He said, "You know what I'm doing now?" I said, "I don't have any idea." He said, "I'm pastoring a little church out here north of Paris." Now, brother, that makes the whole 45 years worthwhile right there. You just see fruit for your labor, and you see it years later. That way you don't get full of yourself, you know. So it's been, and anyway, what I was going to say was we were just going crazy. Of course, you know, small churches, you know, lots of times will, You're everything. You're the Ed man. You're this. You're that. You're everything. So I did a Sunday school conference and encouraged the teacher to study, be prepared, visit, contact your people, the whole routine, and then also to start on time. Don't wait for the people to come dragging in 15 minutes late. start the lesson. Maybe they'll get there on time if you start it and go off and leave them, you know. And so we got through, and this old gentleman sitting there, and he's an old military guy. He's dead now, so I can call his name. His name was Crowley, Mr. Crowley. He didn't like me very much, and that's okay. You know, he's in good company. I got more than one person that doesn't like me. But he got through, and he said, well, you're such a stickler for starting on time. When are we going to end on time? And I said, I'm missing something here. What are you talking about? He said, you know. I said, yes, sir, I'm afraid I do, but I want to tell you something. I said, out front at our sign, it says Spring Lake Baptist Church, where rivers of living water flow. It says we start worship at 11 a.m. It doesn't say one word about what time we stop. And I looked at him, and I don't know where in the world this came from, but I said to him, Brother Crowley, you need to understand something. I said, I'm just like a washing machine. When I spin dry, I'm done. The old face turned about as red as your shirt. Two or three other things happened. They started writing $1 on their offering envelope real big where I'd make sure I knew they were giving $1 a week. If you're a Christian, you can do that and get by with it. Well, something's waiting on you down the road, I'm thinking. So anyway, they left the church and went over to another church, and guess what they did? Did the same thing. Isn't that amazing? Now, let me tell you something before I start tonight that's very important for you to understand. You show me, and I've been doing this a long time, you show me people that are in the Word on a regular basis. They're reading, they're studying, they're in the Word. They're sharing their faith periodically with someone. They're giving sacrificially of their resources. They're serving the Lord Jesus Christ in some manner. They're teaching, serving on missions, doing missions. They're involved in ministry. They're just consumed with the aspect of kingdom work. You will never have a problem out of that person. You know why? Because he's too busy doing kingdom work, be concerned what you're spending money that's already voted on to spend for and why you're spending it. See, if we just get focused on the right thing, much happens. Amen? Well, let's look at John chapter 13 and beginning in verse 1. Stand if you like. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments. And taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel which he had girded, in which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, Whether I do, you do not realize now. Anyways, he's saying, what I'm doing to you right now, you don't have a clue, Peter. You don't understand what I'm doing. He said, you realize it now, but you shall understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, and for so I am. If then the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Verse 16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Father, thank you for your word. Open our hearts, our minds, our spirit, that we would hear from you. Would we be willing to say, Lord, speak to me by your Holy Spirit. Let me see myself in the light of your glory, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Verse 1, let not your... Now there, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing the hour had come, what hour? Cross is before him. The shadow of the cross, he can see it. and he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. That's the disciples, those believers. And he said something, says something very interesting here. He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Literally, the end, to the end, uttermost. He loved them to the uttermost. He loved them eternally, is what he's saying. His love is forever upon you. As we close this morning, I said to you, God cannot not love you. I understand grammatically that's a double negative. I know that. But theologically, it is a major positive. And while we're here, let me just say, remind you again, you can't do anything to get him to love you more. Can't do it. He loves you at maximum because he's God. He doesn't love some and not love others. His love is what? Is his love conditional or unconditional? Unconditional. So he loves you. You ever feel like he didn't love you or doesn't love you sometime? He does. When you think about that, come back to John 13 and say, the disciples, he loved them to the end. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they did everything right. They struggled, just like you and I. Look, this is a daily exercise in growth. Laying things aside, laying things aside, laying things aside, putting on, putting on, putting on righteousness and things of that nature. We do it daily. Verse 2, he says, and after, during supper, the devil having already put, the word put there means to throw or to cast, already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, literally to hand him over. He had done that. He's sitting at the table of the master. What did he sell him out for? Do you remember? 30 pieces of silver. You think that is a lot of money? No, it wasn't. Matter of fact, in today's world where we live, that 30 pieces of silver today would probably be about $11 or $12. And Simon Peter sold the Lord out. If you go back over, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, you'll find a place where it talks about the price of a gored ox, an ox who's been gored. You know what the price of it is? 30 pieces of silver. You know what Judas and the Pharisees decided that Jesus was worth? The price of a gored ox. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And you're sitting in his presence. Well, let me give you some really good news. You're sitting in his presence. You may not see him physically, but he is here by his Spirit. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments. Two active words. He rose up, he laid aside his garments. Basically, what Jesus is speaking about in the other verse is his resurrection and his ascension is what he's speaking of in that verse. Now, he says in verse 4, and he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he had girded. And he came to Simon Peter, and he said to the Lord, do you wash my feet? One thing prevents service or being served. Have you ever tried to serve someone that says, oh, no, I can't let you do that. Oh, no, no, you, I can't let you do that. You want to give somebody some money or something. Oh, no, I can't take that. You know what prevents that? One word, pride. Pride. Pride says, you're not going to serve me. You know, I don't want you doing that. I can serve you. But see, what you have to learn as a Christian, you've got to learn to be a good giver and a good receiver. You've got to be willing. Because see, I've told many a person, they said, well, I can't let you do that. I said, you can't keep me from it. You're not going to rob me of a blessing. A number of years ago, the Lord put in my heart, I was sitting in a Denny's one day in Richardson, Texas, in a Denny's, and this couple of family was sitting over there, about four or five of them, and they looked somewhat needy. You know, they might have a need, and I've never had this happen before in my life, but I was just impressed to buy their meal. And so I told the table waiter, I said, would you do me a favor? And she said, sure. I said, would you bring me those folks' check? Don't say a word. just bring me the check. And she said, do you know them? And I said, no, I don't. Do I have to? And she said, this is highly unusual. I said, ma'am, you don't have a clue how unusual this is. It's unusual for them, and it's unusual for me. This is something I'm supposed to do. This is something the Lord's put in my heart to do, bring me their check. So periodically, I do that. No brag, just a ministry that the Lord gave me. One day, I'm sitting in the Cracker Barrel over in far west Fort Worth. Two little ladies over there, probably about, I'm guessing, they're probably between 70 and 75, about my age now, and I was about 55 then. And they were sitting there, and they were just having a grand conversation about their church. They weren't demeaning anyone. They weren't complaining. They were just talking about their church and their Sunday school class and how much they loved their pastor, and they just enjoyed being there. And I'm just loving this. I mean, it was so rich. So I get through eating, and I walk over there, and their check is laying on the table right there. And when I stepped over there, I just kind of put both hands on the table like that and leaned over, and one of them went on that check. And I said, I just want to tell you ladies today, y'all have blessed me. How? How did we do that? I said, by hearing wholesome conversation about the Lord, your relationship with one another, your church, your pastor. That's been a blessing to me. Amen. Well, thank you. I said, I want to bless you. Well, how are you going to do that? I said, I'm going to buy your lunch. Oh, we can't let you do that. And I have fairly large hands. And I had the hand on that ticket, and I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will not buy your lunch if one of you ladies can get my hand off that check. Oh, we couldn't do that. I said, I know that. I said, you know what? If you did that, you would rob me of a blessing. You don't want to do that, do you? Oh, no, we don't want to do that. I said, now you learned something here. Maybe you would do this for someone one day. We will. So it's just a matter of letting someone do for you, because I've told more than one person in my life, you're not going to rob me of a blessing. This is something I'm supposed to do. Yeah. Giving and receiving, and how you do it, is a very spiritual thing, I think. Peter said to him, never would you wash my feet. What I do, do you realize now? That's a great word. Verse 7, I'm sorry. Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now. But you shall understand hereafter. You'll recognize it soon, Peter, is what he's saying. What's he talking about? You don't know what I've done. Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Look at it in verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, do not only my feet, but my hands. Give me a bath. Give me a bath. Clean me up. And the word wash means to cleanse. He says in verse 10, Jesus said to him, he has bathed, needs only to be wash his feet, but he is completely clean. Word means whole, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said to him, not all of you are clean. Not all of you are innocent. Not all of you are pure. And what Jesus is doing is demonstrating them. He's giving them an example of life. And we go on with this, and we're going to come back to a very major part here in just a minute. And so when they had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? The answer to that question from the disciples is no. They did not know. They did not understand. Now let me tell you what he's doing. He's drawing them a picture, giving them an analogy of what he's about to do on the cross. This washing of the feet is a picture of washing of their sin based on the blood of the cross. This is just an example of what he's going to do. Because when he went to the cross and you came to him with your sin and you confessed it and agreed with him that you were a sinner and you repented of your sin and turned to follow him, he washed you. He cleansed you. He made you pure. And that's what he was doing. Give an example of what he was about to do as he hung on that cross. Can you see Peter saying, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. I can see that clearly. Easy to see, because Peter was always too quick, wasn't he? Too quick to speak. Too quick to do. That's who Peter was. Now look what he says. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. What's he saying? I'm serving you. Serve someone. Serve those around you. Serve one another. Don't be standing around in a circle talking about who's going to be the greatest. Serve one another. Love one another. Verse 15, for I gave you an example. Copy is the word. I gave you an example. I gave you a copy, a pattern that you should do as I did to you. Now, I'm going to tell you something right here. Now, I'm not opposed to amens and praise the Lords and people having some emotion in church. I think they should. It'd be good for most Baptists to have just a spell every now and then. It would help them a whole lot. Don't be so sophisticated that you can't say amen or praise the Lord. I'm telling you right now, there's no shouting going on around this table. There is pure conviction, my brother. Pure conviction. No shouting, no hallelujahs, just conviction. And see, that's one of the things as a preacher I long for in the church, for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to the heart of His children. It's me. It's me, O Lord, that you're talking to. Boy, I wish old Bill would have been here tonight. He, doggone, he needed to hear that. No, he didn't. You did. And basically, on your conversation and on your comment, you didn't hear it. No, it's not for someone else. It's for you. What God's wanting to do through the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Word is do a direct hit on you. Had two old fellas when I did an interim at New Bronzeville. I was down at New Bronzeville for 15 months when I was director of missions. And one of them named was John Connolly, and I nicknamed him Governor. John Connolly, and I called him the Governor. Another old boy, I can't remember his name. Two sweet little old men. One of them was 90 and one of them 92. And they came Sunday morning and Sunday night, and they're sitting back on the back on these little pews they had then, you know, little two-people pews. And I'd walk in, I'd talk with them, and we'd visit. And one of them was always, Rufus was his name, something. He's always asking me a question theologically, and we'd talk and visit, and I start to walk off, and I said, okay, guys, I said, now, you're back here at the door. I said, I'm depending on you. Anything happens, y'all going to take care of it? We got it, preacher. Okay. See, but they, see, it's not sometimes about even doing something. It's investing something in someone's life that they don't have family. They don't have wives. They need someone to speak to, someone to encourage them. That's what serving is. You serve up yourself and say, hey, Lord, how do you want to use me tonight? How do you want to use me in the life of someone else? Every one of you in this room are gifted. Don't you dare shake your head, no, you're not, because you are gifted. You have a talent. God's given you a spiritual gift. He wants you to implant that in the church, to employ it among other people. What cranks your clock? What do you like to do? You like to cook food for people? You like to visit? See, there's hundreds of thousands of people in nursing homes today that never see anybody unless the church goes. They don't have family. They don't have friends. And if they do have family, they don't come and see them. That's above me to go into that old stinking nursing home. Well, it won't be above you when you're there. Then you'll want somebody to come see you. Serve someone. Find what you like and do that. Had a guy come to me one time at Pasadena. And he said, preacher, name is Bob Day. He said, preacher, we need a bus ministry. I said, okay, there's the bus. And he said, well, I'm not going to do it. And I said, well, you think I am? I said, I got more fish to fry than I got skillets now. He looked at me, well, you're not going to do anything? No, no, I'm not. You go take it and pray about it, and you come back. I said, if that's something you're supposed to do, you do it. About 2 weeks, here he came. He said, you know, brother, the Lord won't leave me alone about this. I believe I need to do that. I said, I got just what you need, Brother Day. He said, well, I said, come to my office. Walked in his office, reached up on my shelf, and pulled out a bus ministry manual. I said, here you go. Keys are hanging right there. Insurance is on the bus. Tells you what to do, how to do. First Sunday he ran the bus, Brother Steve brought in about 12, 14 kids. He was livid. He was going bonkers. He said, you see me, kids, we have first day. Oh, boy, just going crazy. I said, Bob, if I had done that, you wouldn't have got the blessing. You wouldn't have got to be a part of that. You couldn't say, those are my kids. And eventually he had that bus filled up, and he loved it. Had another young couple come to me one time, say, sit down at my desk, and wonderful young couple growing in the Lord, and said, Brother Ed, we believe the Lord's leading us to start Awana. I said, start it. He said, you're not going to pray about it? And I said, no, I don't pray about doing ministry for the Lord. I just do it. He said, well, what do we do? I said, you get your crew together. Ever who's going to be the captain or whatever it is of that thing? I said, you get it together and you get it going. I'll come down, greet the kids, encourage y'all, make sure you got money out of the budget, do what you need to do, and you do it. 6 weeks, we had 50 kids. Then 75 kids. That was their deal. I can't do as a pastor, I can't do a WANA, and I can't do bus ministry. I can't do it all. That's why it's a body thing. It's a body life, as Darrell Robinson calls it. And that's what it is. It's body life. And that body life involves servanthood. It's not about coming and hearing sermons. It's about coming and getting refueled, equipped to go out and do the work of the ministry to the glory of God. You can't stand around and wait on anybody else. It's like you have a work day, Brother Steve. Say, well, boy, we could have got a lot done if all these other people. Don't worry about the other people. Let me tell you what you do. You write this down in your mind. You remember it. You do what you can where you are with what you got. That's it. That's what the lady did in Mark 14 when she took the alabaster vial and broke it on Jesus. She had one alabaster vial. She didn't have many. She did what she could where she was with what she had. That's servanthood. That's what God wants you to do. No shouting going on, just conviction. Remember that. Verse 16, truly, truly, it's a great word. You know what that means? It means this. Anybody beside me in the room serving the military? Anybody in the Navy? Did you ever hear the word, now hear this? Did it say it one time? Nope. Now hear this. Now hear this. You know it's time to listen up. That's exactly what that means. It means, Jesus, I'm fixing to say something you guys need to hear. Listen up. Listen up. What does he say? I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. Neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Let's go back just for a second. Go back to verse 4. Jesse, do me a favor. See that basin right down there? It's got water in it. Don't spill it. Set it right up here for me, would you? There, that's good. Scripture says, what did he do? He took a stripped off his outer garment, and he took a towel and a basin of water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, think about this. Who is this Jesus? This is God incarnate. So when we see him here on his knees, washing feet of the disciples, the question is, who should have been washing feet? The disciples. It was customary to have someone at the door when they came into the room to wash feet because they didn't have paved roads. They had old dirty roads, and they didn't have sewage. So they dumped their sewage on the side of the road to be picked up in the morning. And then the animals came by, and so can you just get in your mind, I'm trying to not be morbid or crude, but get in your mind what's on these guys' feet. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the hands of deity, are washing the feet of disciples when they should have been washing feet. You were filthy, unclean, lost in your sin, and he washed you. He made you whole. And he took the towel, and he goes around the room, and he comes around, and there's Matthew, and there's Mark, and there's Peter. Does he wash Peter's feet? What's Peter about to do? Deny him. Does he wash his feet? The answer is yes. Then he goes around the room. There's Bartholomew. There's Luke. There's John. And there's Judas. And what Judas done? He's already sold him out for that 30 pieces of silver. Does he wash Judas's feet? Yes, he does. Now here's the question. Whose feet will you not wash? Who is it that you would say in your mind tonight, I'm not going to serve them? They're not worth my breath, let alone to cook a meal or mow their yard or work on their car, keep their dog. Servanthood is when you're willing to serve anywhere, anytime, to anyone at any cost. Service. Hudson Taylor, the missionary that founded the Inland China Mission, was in Australia one time, and he was speaking at this missions conference, and the guy gets up and introduces Hudson Taylor. And he goes through all of these things about the books he's written and degrees he's got and ministries he's done, the Inland China Mission, and on he went. And Hudson Taylor was a small man of stature. And he stands at the pulpit, and he says, I'm just a small servant of the illustrious master. But he said, this is Hudson Taylor. Give you our illustrious guest, Hudson Taylor. And he said, I'm just a small servant of the illustrious master. That's who we are. Look what he says in verse 17. If, since you know these things. Do you know these things? Do you know tonight and from this morning what your primary responsibility and calling is? It's to be a servant. Taking the gift of exhortation, of teaching, of giving, of service, of mercy, whatever it may be, and you employ it to the church. And you do it for the glory of God. You don't do it to be seen by the preacher. You don't be doing it because you want to be recognized and get a plaque at the end of the year because you did it. You just do it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love, says 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. Look what it says. If you know these things, you are blessed. Literally, happy if you do them. I got a neighbor, Rick Kaiser, who'd been doing some work out at the church. And I've gotten to know Rick pretty good, and I'm really trusting the Lord to break through him and get him back where he needs to be. He knows right from wrong. He'd been in the church. He served on the finance committee, and he's just out of it right now. He'd come over and do a little something for me. I mow his grass because he didn't like to mow, and it's a rent house, and I don't like for it to get up 4 feet high, so I mow his yard, trim his hedges. No brag, just fact. I do what I preach, people, the best I know. I've gotten to know Rick, and when he first did a couple of things for me, I wrote him a note of thank you. And he said, I've never had anybody write me a note of thank you. Here's a man 52 years old. No one has ever done that. I get meat from my brother-in-law down in East Texas, and I had some steaks, and I gave him a couple of T-bones for he and his wife. The other day he was over and I gave him a couple of sirloins. Just loving him, serving him. Stood on his porch the other night. I went over there to get something from him or do something and tell him something. I don't know what it was, but related to the work he was doing at the church. And we stood there about 30, 40 minutes. And I was able to share with him and talk with him. And I said, Rick, I said, he's talking about just working hard and making hardly not making any money. And I said, Rick, could it be all these things that you're dealing with and facing you? Could it be that God's trying to show you? He said, you know, Ed, so that's exactly what I told my wife, Debbie. Her name's Debbie also. That's what I told Debbie the other night. I said, Rick, I said, I'll tell you what, where I think you're going to find joy and peace and happiness is back in the Lord. Doing what you know you need to be doing. I'm sharing this with you because I love you, man, not because I'm upset with you, not because I think you're a loser or anything. I said, he's got tattoos all over him, you know, wears an earring. Does that make him less than you or me? I don't think so. I've had to work through that, all that stuff, folks, because I'm a West Texas redneck. I had to work through all of that. Where does God look? On the inside. Will you be a servant? Will you wash someone's feet? You say, well, you mean literally? Well, yeah, if that's what God wants to do. Yeah. I'm not trying to make an ordinance out of it. That's not that. A lot of churches do, but it's not an ordinance. But it's something they did in the New Testament. But you can wash feet, as I said this morning, hundreds of ways. Hundreds of ways. If you want to serve someone and do something, you'll find a way to do it. Amen? You'll find a way to do it. A little lady, you know, maybe lives in the nursing home. Maybe she lives by herself. She's homebound, as we call them, to the church. Go by her house one day and just take her a red rose. Love on her. She has a dog. Take him a bone. Because if you love the dog, she'll love you, right? Listen, I'm done. I'll give it to your pastor. Find a place and harness up. Serve the master in the days you have left. The last thing God called you to do was come into his church and come into his kingdom life and come to church and sit and soak and sour. He didn't call you to do that. There's joy in serving the Lord. Amen? Amen. Father, bless your word tonight. Help us to be servant of heart, servant of you. Let us understand that we are, as Hudson Taylor said, just small servants of the illustrious master. Help us to realize that you have washed us. You have served us in an unparalleled, unbelievable manner. Let us, in the days we have left, serve you. Humble ourselves. And do whatever you ask us to do, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, church. Well, would there be anybody who needs their feet washed tonight? I'm down front this evening. And I've often told you I want to be your chief servant. So if you need your feet washed, you desire your feet washed, if you would have your feet washed, have your feet washed. Amen? Thank you. Brother Jesse will be playing softly in the background. The altars are open. If you need to talk to someone about salvation, I'm down front. Brother Ed's down front. Brother Roger's available. You come this evening. You come. God's calling his church. He's calling his people to serve. You be that kind of serving church, bringing glory and honor to his name, doing the work of the ministry for the master. amen tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good, 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 good. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. It's so good to have met Jesse and his wife Debbie and have them tonight with us. And so good to have Brother Ed back in the pulpit this evening. And man, I pray you'll take God's word and take it on out with you. Amen. Amen. Take it on out with you. Right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being the people of God, New Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for serving the way you do. Right? And if you know in your heart, know in your mind, know there's something you're not doing that you need to be doing, this has been a what? It's been a wake-up call, huh? Amen. Yeah, wake-up call. Amen. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we're thankful that we can gather together on this beautiful spring evening. Lord, that we could sing praises to your name, that we could pray and hear a message, Lord, not a sermon, but a message from your word. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful for the music that we've had, Lord, and the opportunity to worship you with our giving tonight. Father God, I pray that as we leave here tonight, we would go with a servant's heart, a servant's mindset, a servant's focus. Lord, we wouldn't forget that we are bond slaves, bound to you for all eternity. Thank you for buying us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for washing us. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, may we share that good news with others as we leave this place and as we start this new week. Thank you for the beautiful salvation that we have in you. Thank you for your cross. Father God, we pray for a fruitful week. We pray for a devotional week. We pray for a week in your word and a week where we are in a spirit of prayer about what we are to do and how we're to be doing it. Thank you again for all that you do for us. God's people said, amen. Amen. You folks are dismissed tonight. Thank you all for being here.